Abani Ghani, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, Africana Studies Department, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. We want to welcome you here to the Conscious Corner. That we're here every Tuesday at 6 a.m. We have also the CNN show, Community Education Network, on every Wednesday at 6, and where we do what we call deep thinking and critical questioning about what's going on. We have Brother Ernest McBride.
Professor Rock?
Yes.
You said 6 a.m. It's 6 p.m.
Okay. We have a Community Education Network and Conscious Corner at 6 p.m. We got Ernest McBride, who is the really a curator and archivist for his father, Ernest McBride Sr., who is a legend in Long Beach community, started the first NAACP, and his record of achievement and helping Black people get power in Long Beach, especially city councilmen, and challenging racist practices in Long Beach, is credited with Ernest McBride Sr. And we have Brother I.E. from Detroit. And Brother I.E. is a longtime community activist and traveler where he goes and participates in all type of programs for the liberation and development of our people. Tonight we have a very special guest, personal friend of mine. I couldn't ask for a better friend of mine. And he was formerly my administrative assistant, but right now he's what we call the director of Cocaine Anonymous. And he's going to talk about the program to help people with addiction. Almost all of us know somebody or have known somebody that was addicted to something. And many, many have been addicted to crack and things of this nature. And this is a place you can recommend them or a program you can recommend them for. But Marvin is a longtime participant and organizer of Cocaine Anonymous. But he's going to tell you all about his program. And he's one of the most traveled and skilled brothers that I've ever met. So we're going to let him tell you about Cocaine Anonymous. Then he's going to talk for about 15 minutes to 20. Then we're going to ask questions. Then he can come back and sum up. All right. Go ahead, Marvin.
All right. Thank you, Professor Amin Rao. Good evening, everyone. Like Professor Amin Rao said, my name is Marvin, and I'm an alcoholic, and I'm an addict. I'm a recovering alcoholic addict. My sobriety date is 11-8-88. I got scared straight in 88 in the streets of Compton. I got to the recovery process and recovery program with a broke leg, a broke car, and I finally got broke. And November the 8th, 1988, on Bradfield, right off of Alondra, behind Stark's Liquor Store, I cried out, God, please help me. And I'm a guy who didn't believe in God. I'm a guy who never went to church, never prayed, and I hadn't cried in over 20-some-odd years. I left home at the age of 15. I arrived here in Los Angeles at the age of 16 on 75th between Main and San Pedro with a pimp. And they told me when I got here, my ideals, my emotions, and my attitude had to change in order for me to recover. I'm a firm believer that in order for you to recover from drugs and alcohol or anything that ails you, that you must first believe you have a problem. And then from a belief, you have to make a decision. And from a decision, you have to take action. And from action, we gain results. And from results, we gain faith in the power. Today, I believe in God. Today, my total reliance is up on God. So this program that we have to offer here in Cocaine Anonymous got started in 1982. We're a spinoff of Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. Cocaine Alcoholics Anonymous got formed in Akron, Ohio in 1935 between a well-known doctor named Dr. Bob and a stockbroker named Bill Wilson. They started AA, which sparked the flame. And when they first got started, it was only six tenants. As the years grew, the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous, we call the Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous, that's our basic text. From out of that big book, there's a planned program of action, which require you to some, which allows you to get freedom, and but mostly freedom of bondage yourself. And it supplies us with 12 suggested steps. They call suggestions, but I like to call direction, that was founded in 1939. The book was written and has been used worldwide. Out of Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous was formed a few years later. And then in 1982, we came on board in 82, which is Cocaine Anonymous. Like I say, I've been sober for since 1988. So Cocaine Anonymous around for 6 years, and we're worldwide. What you're seeing on the screen right here is a website that you can go to. It's called ca4la.org, and it explains a whole lot of in detail about our conventions, our conferences, our workshops. We have an annual convention that we rotate throughout the world, all over the United States. This year was in Phoenix, Arizona. Last year was in Amsterdam. But like I say, I got here in 88, not knowing what it meant to be an alcoholic and an addict. And what the book tells me that I study, and it's 12 suggested steps, it's 12 spiritual principles. And all the principles that we use is derived from the Bible. Well, but we're not a religious program. We're a spiritual program. We believe that each individual must fully concede to the innermost self that they're addict and alcoholic. This is the first step of recovery. No man or no woman can tell another man or woman whether he or she be an alcoholic. But what we suggest you to do is to come to our meetings, get a big book, get a sponsor, and someone who's properly armed with the facts about themselves and the nature of their disease. Because you must have a full knowledge of your disease. And that's what this program offers. It offers, first I had to be shown, I had to learn, I had to be taught this way of living. But first of all, I had to surrender to the disease of alcohol and drug addiction. It's like me going to Africa, and I try to navigate myself through the jungle when I've never been there. I had to have a guide. So this program offers you a sponsor. I sponsor men in the 12-step program. I encourage them to get a commitment when that means go to meetings, get a commitment, and then get a sponsor. I'm their sponsor, and then you have to surrender. The major part of this program is all about surrender and willingness. You know, for me, I had to pray for the willingness just to be willing to take direction. Professor Rawl told me, and I heard it after I came into the program also, always seek counsel and take direction. And that's something I didn't want. You know, but in this program, you know, you have to fully understand what it means to be an alcoholic. But the crux of my problem is centered in my brain, in my thinking. I have a disease of a twofold nature coupled by a spiritual malady. My mind and my body is ill. And in order for me to treat my mind and my body, I use the 12 suggested steps. That's the recovery process. We use unity, service, and recovery. We meet in Compton. There's some meetings in Compton that you'll see as you go on ca4la.org, that site. It lists all the meetings in the Compton area, the Los Angeles area, the Long Beach area, and the West Side and the South Bay Beach cities. When I first got sober, I started off in Alcoholics Anonymous, and they ran me and my buddy out of Alcoholics Anonymous because you couldn't share that you was an addict when you went to AA meetings. I used to go in and say, my name is Marvin and I'm an addict. Oh, no, 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 no. You have to be an alcoholic. So in our fellowship, which is Cocaine Anonymous, was formed because a lot of addicts were dying because alcoholics were not accepting us in their program and we were not feeling comfortable. So we had to create a fellowship that we crave, they talk about. Cocaine Anonymous is a fellowship that I crave. I started off in Alcoholics Anonymous because I got here by way of a broke leg, a broke car, and I finally got broke coming out of the Women's in Arms. On November the 8th, 1988, I had been up 21 days on the run, smoking crack cocaine. I had a woman that was in the program who got sober in 1986, who tried to introduce me to this program. And I'm a firm believer, you can't hear till you're able to hear, you can't see till you're able to hear. And you had to have a thorough ass whipping. I can't say it any, excuse my profanity, but most of the time you had to have a thorough ass whipping. They told me when your ass is tender, your ears will listen. And you had to be desperate. In order to seek this program, you have to be desperate, but not only desperate, but desperate enough to seek counsel, take direction, and practice prayer. See, I didn't believe in prayer. I didn't believe in God. And when I got here, but step one is that I'm powerless over alcohol and my life is unmanageable. That's a two-part step in the 12-step program. And step one is honesty. Step two is hope. Step three is faith. Step four is courage. Step five is integrity. Step six is willingness. Step seven is humility. Step eight is love. Step nine is forgiveness. Step 10 is principles. Step 11 is awareness. And step 12 is service. In order for me to keep what I have, these 36 years I've been sober, I got to give it back. So I've been a member of hospitals and institutions, which is called HNI, Hospitals and Institutions, where we carry the message to people in detoxes, recovery homes. We even go to Men's Central Jail. I'm a member of HNI. I go to Men's Central Jail. I go to women's prisons, Twin Towers, downtown Los Angeles. I go over here on Alameda Imperial at the women's prison. My wife, she has 39 years, coming on August the 5th. She's a member of Hospitals and Institutions. She sponsors women. We put on workshops, take people through the 12 steps of recovery. We have a meeting at 312 South Oleander that Professor Amin Raw helped us start, along with Brother Ron Chapman from Compton College. And I want to thank them. It's 3 years strong, going on 3 years. July will be 3 years. The name of the meeting is called Beyond the Courthouse. And then Brother Duron, we call Duron, who used to work at Martin Luther King Hospital. He started a meeting over 35 years ago, along with me and a few other brothers and sisters. And the meeting is called Tired of Being Dogged Out. We meet Sundays from 6 to 8. That's in that. If you go to ca4la.org, look at our directory. They have meetings every night. We also have a meeting in Long Beach that I just love. The name is called Crackheads on a Mission. We do workshops. We do tradition work. We also, along with the 12 spiritual principles within the 12 steps, we have 12 spiritual principles that we live by within our traditions. We have certain traditions that we adhere to in this organization. We're an altruistic movement. And that means, and I know you guys know, but it's unselfish loves, unselfish concerns for others. We do this for free. Even our motto is, we're here, we're free. We don't charge for recovery. I'm not a director. There's no big shots, there's no little shots in Cocaine Anonymous. One shot, they say your ass is out the door. Sorry for the profanity, but I can only speak the language of the heart. Recovery begins each day when one alcoholic, one addict talks to another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope. What we try to do, we reach addicts and alcoholics that like no one else can reach them. The mother, the judges, the priests, the rabbis, see, what we share is death and weight. And the only way you can do that, the only way you can really, you can't scare an addict into recovery, first of all. And then there's such a thing, it's called, oh my God, what the mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers give the, oh my God. Yeah, anyway, I'm trying to talk fast because I know I only got 20 minutes. But yeah, you can love us to death is what I'm trying to say. You have to release. If you have family members, introduce them to us and get out the way. Because frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. What holds an alcoholic and addict must have death and weight. And only death and weight can come from another addict. Language of the heart. And we had to learn, I had to learn how to listen so I could listen to learn. They told me when I got here, my ideals, my emotions, my attitude had to change. Because this program is not about being sober. It teaches us how to live sober. We have to find the true nature of our disease, and the crux of our problem is centered in our mind and in our body. I have a disease of a twofold nature, the mind, the body, coupled with a spiritual malady. There's a lot of people with spiritual maladies that are not addicts or alcoholics. I had to find out what it really meant to be an alcoholic. I had to get a full knowledge of my condition. And I had to examine my relationship with drugs and alcohol. So it gives me an opportunity to look at my condition. And there's only three things in the first three steps. Step one is the conclusion. I used to be a cucumber, now I'm a pickle. Step two is came to believe in a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. First, I had to come to, in step one, come to believe in a power. See, I always thought I was the power, but lack of power is my dilemma. So step one is the conclusion I draw, that I can never safely use drugs or alcohol in any form. Now, I do suffer from the phenomenon of craving. Some of you guys can relate to the phenomenon. It's like Lay's potato chips. What was their motto? I bet you can't eat one. That's what happens to addicts and alcoholics. Even if you have an addiction with food, sugar is a very highly addictive. That was one of my first substances that I was addicted to. Sugar and salt, cocaine, they're all in the same alcohol. I'm addicted. One is too many and 1,000 is never enough. But you have to come to that decision. You have to come to that conclusion. So step one is just a conclusion that you draw out of your own experience. I got here with a broke leg, a broke heart, and I finally got broke. A guy came with inflated ego and a whole lot of false pride. But after examining my relationship in step one with drugs and alcohol and seeing I could never safely use drugs and alcohol in any form, because I used to sell dope too. I used to sell a lot of dope. But listen, a monkey can't sell bananas. I became my best customer. But I had to examine my own relationship in step one. It says, came to believe in a power greater than myself can restore me to sanity, step two. So first of all, I had to fully concede to my animal self that I was an addict and alcoholic, and I had to come to believe that I was insane. And that I didn't have the need of power. Lack of power is my dilemma. And step two is just asking me to be willing to believe in a power. Because I'm the guy who said F God when I came here. I said, F the chicken-eating preachers. Superstition and religion has held us back for the time you brought us over here on a slave ship. Oh, I had a bunch of warped ideals. And they told me my ideals, my emotions, and my attitude had to change. So anyway, in step two, I had to make a decision to turn my will in my life. I mean, I had to make a decision to be willing to believe in a power greater than myself. And then out of my relationship with my power, seeing me always landing me in trouble. So and in step three is where you made a decision. Step three is made a decision to turn my will and my life over to a care of God as I understand. Okay? I don't understand God, but I had to be willing to turn my will and my life. What is my will? The will is my thoughts. What is my life? It's my actions. And I had to think long and hard before I make this decision. Out of two conclusions, I now had to make a decision. So I made the decision to turn my will and my life over to care of God out of looking and examining with my relationship with alcohol and drugs. So anyway, I turned my will and my life for care of God. Then I did a third step prayer after the seven requirements. But before the seven requirements, step one is A, I'm an addict alcoholic. My life is unmanageable. That's the truth. B, that probably no human power could really leave me of my alcoholism. That's the light. And C, that God couldn't would if he was sought is the way. It says, now being convinced of this, the first requirement is I got to be convinced that any life ran on self-will can hardly be a success. And from then on, I do inventory. From then on, I do confession. From then on, I look at my character defects and my shortcomings. From then on, I make a list of people that I harm. From then on, I make a tone, like I say, a tone or make amends. Then when after I make an amends, I start prayer and meditation. Then I carry the message. Like I'm doing this evening. Hopefully somebody can hear what I had to say. And people like me share this in meetings. This is what the 12-step movement is all about in a nutshell. I had to believe I had a problem. I had to make a decision to do something about the problem. I took action. From actions, I gained results. From results, I got results. And from results, I gained faith in a power that I don't understand, but it understands me. Okay, I don't know what more I can tell you guys, but I love Cocaine Anonymous. I love sponsoring guys, men and women. We have people who recreate their lives. You know, we have people who've done 30 years in the penitentiary and come out right now I sponsor the guy who just did 21 years in the penitentiary and he's a productive citizen. You know what I mean? We live beyond our wildest drunken dreams here. You know, and we're not a glum lot. And we advocate unity, service, and recovery. And we recommend you go to meetings, get a sponsor, get a big book, get a commitment, and get busy living. I've been around the world, you guys. I've been all the way around the world. I haven't worked in 25 years. I had two heart attacks, open heart surgery, December 3rd, 1997. I've had two stents. Just recently had a seizure while driving seven blocks, not knowing how I did it. Had a recovery home, the Cannon House on 97th and Holmes. We have help for anybody who needs it. But first, you must reach out. And you must ask for help. If you got any family members, just introduce them. We have a hotline number that's going to be, it's a 1-800. But the original hotline that I've been knowing for 36 years is 310-216-4444. I started hospitals and institutions in South Central Los Angeles. You know, I've been on convention committees. I've been the chair of districts. I do workshops, you know, where I take people through the 12 steps. Well, we have a guy named Cameron F., who comes on every Friday night from Toronto, Canada, that takes people through the 12 steps, all 12 steps in 4 hours to introduce you to how this program works. And then you spend a lifetime working it. I think I come to the end of the road. I could talk forever. You know, yep. I love God today. You know, yep. My total reliance is on God. I believe in little prayer, little power. A lot of prayer, a lot of power. And here's a guy who said F God when he first got here. I said F the program of Alcoholics Anonymous, F you, F everything. And they talk about me in the big book, Alcoholics Anonymous. It said, a man who came to scoff, but he remains to pray. You know, This program that they offer in the 12-step movement is a designed way of living that can benefit anyone and everyone. They also have Al-Anon. That's for the family members who've been affected. They have Al-Ateen and Al-Atat. They have all type of, they have Gamblers Anonymous, Overeaters Anonymous, Sex Anonymous. Yes. But anyway, Professor, I think I went longer than I should have. And I thank you for the honor and the privilege. But I wake up every morning and ask God to please keep me safe, sane, and sober. And at the end of each day, I thank God for all he's given me, for all he's taken away, for all he's left. Thank you for listening.
Good, good,
Professor Ron.
Yes.
Can I make a comment?
Yes.
Brother Marvin, excellent. All I can say is excellent, man, and I appreciate you.
Thank you, brother.
I don't know if you saw me smiling, but after you... When you said a monkey can't sell bananas, I thought that was so powerful, man. I was laughing, but I thought it was real powerful. That one little phrase right there makes a whole lot of sense. I appreciate you, brother. Thank you, Rocky.
Thank you.
Okay. Brother Ernest, do you have any questions or comments?
The only thing, like he mentioned, they had a program in Long Beach. Because I grew up with a couple of guys that were addicts, you know, and I think what turned me off to that and never had the inkling to even try drugs was this one guy, Willie Lemon, you know, was an addict. And what happened, he got on heroin, I think. And then what happened, they... See, every bit of furniture, he and his mother lived together, no father. And so he sold every stick of furniture in her house, and there was nothing left but the bed, and she was bedridden. She couldn't walk or nothing. And so he came there one day and lifted her out of the bed, put her on the floor, and he sold the bed. And that stuck with me all those years, and I said, well, I never want to try anything like that, you know. And I think the thing that kept me from messing around with weed was I was always in athletics, you know, doing, and I always felt, hey, if I smoke weed, that's going to affect my performance, so I'm not doing that, you know. So I guess I was lucky, and then I had a good upbringing with my mother and father. So,
good. Is he there? Rashiki?
Thank you, brother, for your, oh, you, yeah, Rashiki, excuse me.
Yeah, go ahead, Rashiki.
Brother, that brother got game. I bet you could talk for about 3 hours, brother, because you got game, and I know it comes from experience, gave you wisdom. Are there any differences in an alcoholic and a crackhead addict? Are there any differences? I just wanted to just make this statement because I've noticed some people I know who had a parent that was an alcoholic. It's almost as if they carried like a gene or something. They touch the stuff and just go fall into the same habits of their parents. Is there any differences between the two? Does genetics have anything to do with it? Those are my questions.
Yeah, well, there's no difference between wet and dry. One is wet, one is dry. Both of them have the same effect. Well, once you start, you can't stop, and when you stop, you always restart. And the body is abnormal. See, the difference is that we have a different body. Our bodies are chemistry, and yes, it is genetic. Most of the time, it's proven that if your family members have it, it's a generational curse. And yeah, it just goes right down. So, but yeah, if you never start, then you don't ever have to stop. But the problem is, we always start because we don't treat our disease. You know what I mean? You have to treat the mind, the body, and the spirit. And I don't care how long you stay away from it, you're susceptible to go back to it if you don't continue to meet the conditions and the requirements in order to stay sober, in my opinion. If you be a real one. Not everybody that comes to Alcoholics Anonymous is a real alcoholic or a real addict. And they can just quit, and they don't have to do everything that I have to do. See, I have to do everything in order for me to be joyous, happy, and free. Yes, sir. And the brothers was talking about he's an athlete, and it kept him away from you smoking weed and doing things. That's commendable. But we have priests, we have rabbis, we have athletes, we have entertainers, we have sports celebrity, we have everyone in this fellowship. It's an equal opportunity destroyer. And it don't care how much money you got. It don't care what your job title is. It don't care where you came from, what type of parents you have. Once you have this disease and you formulate this habit, you're hooked. You're like a man who's lost his leg. You'll never grow a new one. You're bodily and mentally different from your fellows if you be real addict alcoholic. But like I said earlier in my conversation, no one can tell another man whether he or she be an addict alcoholic. You need to take the test. Recovery process is found in the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. It only costs $14 now. When I first got sober, it was $5. Now it's $14. If you can't afford the book, or you got a member that can't afford the book, tell them come to Tired of Being Dogged Out on Sunday. We give away free books to newcomers. Raw, anything else?
Yeah.
Anybody else got a question?
I don't know. You got another one?
No, sir. You've been quite informative. Thank you very much.
Rashiki, are you there?
Yeah.
Is there anybody else on? I don't even can see.
Yeah, we have Brother Mashinda and Dr. Sharita.
All right, call on Mashinda and then Dr. Sharita.
Okay, Mashinda.
Is he on?
He's here.
Okay, we're going to Sharita if he didn't.
Dr. Sharita, question, comment? You might just be listening.
Yeah. All right. Hello.
Yeah, a lot of times I am just listening. I'm on my way to my dance class. Yeah, okay. But I'm glad about the subject because I'm a naturopathic doctor. And we're in Compton. We've been in business for 50 years, dealing with the community. So we dealt with, you know, the crack cocaine epidemic. Now it's meth. You know, you're going from one to another. And then just dealing with addiction in general is one of the things I have been looking closely at, because not just dealing with drugs, but people in the food addiction, which is causing them to have all kind of different diseases, heart disease, diabetes, high blood, you know, the typical diseases that we have. And just dealing with, you know, how to deal with addiction, how to deal with getting people to do what they know they need to do. Even me, you know what I'm saying? I know what I need to do. I have respiratory issues. So I know I'm not supposed to be eating bread or a lot of flour products or just, you know, things that build up a lot of mucus, and because it ends up causing me to not be able to breathe. So, but it's this thing where I feel like a lot of stress, things that's always in our face as far as like commercials, you know, billboards, is just always something that's always attracting us to do all these things that hurt, where we hurt ourselves. And so that's been one of the studies that I've been looking at, is how to deal with that addiction. What does it take to get somebody to say, you know what, I'm going to do exactly what I need to do. I feel like stress. I remember watching something. I went to Thailand. I saw this video on YouTube where a man who was addicted to, I think, cocaine. And so he went to one of the Buddhist temples. You know, they have these temples where you can just go there for a week, a month, 6 months, however long you want to be there. And you can stay. And then they have, you know, you wear certain things. You get one big container of different things like food and toiletries and things like that. And it's very limited. You have different chores you have to do and things like that. So he's sitting with the priest, and he's, you know, telling him that it's not so much that you're addicted to your substance, you're addicted to your emotions. And that put things in its different perspective, you know, for me. And so with dealing with that, if you look at, okay, I'm dealing with stress from work, from business, family, what have you. And one of the things you do, you want to go grab something that makes you feel comfortable or calm or whatever, you know, but something that's going to make you not feel the pain from the emotion, you know. So dealing with it from that perspective showed me a different thing of, okay, now I'm dealing with whatever this addiction is, and why am I doing it? What is the emotion I'm addicted to? And let me look at that and work on that. And so that's kind of like where I've gotten in my research. I'm still going through that, just by, you know, my family, dealing with the community. And then I have found that once I get people to the source of their issue, then they're able to deal with it a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because what happens when you get sober? Well, a lot of people switch addictions, and right. food and gambling and shopping and drama, you know what I mean? You know, become workaholics, you know what I mean? Become sexaholics, become gamaholics, become shopaholics. So they have all these different 12-step programs. They have Overeaters Anonymous also, because they know that. They have Grief Anonymous also. We have different 12-step programs, because you got to get down to the causes and conditions. See, and I had to uncover, discover, discard what's causing me to go fix. What's the triggers? So so there's a lot of self help programs through the 12-step programs, and then the discipline and structure that I have through prayer and meditation. But yeah, I believe in diet, prayer, meditation, and exercise. You know, I'm 73, be 74 soon, and my whole lifestyle changed. I had to change everything I eat. You know, I was a vegan for almost 20 years. My doctor got me on fish, but I surrendered. Let me say that. I surrendered. I eat wild caught fish now, and that's all I do now. But no, I definitely believe in that your addiction will change, you know? So yes, ma'am. Yeah, it's about discipline and it's about structure.
So meaning that we need to deal with the emotion.
Yes, ma'am. Because for me, my ideals, my emotions, and my attitude, but I don't have the needed power. No matter how great the necessity or wish, I can't stop drinking or using. And no matter how great the necessity or wish, I can't change my character defects, my shortcomings, and my behaviors, my ideals, and my emotions. So we have a tool. We have a toolkit that we use in order to treat that through the 12-Step Fellowship. It's outlined in the first seven chapters, 103 pages, along with the doctor's opinion, and explain everything I need to do in order to live sober. There's only one time in the 12 steps that mentions substance, and that's one. I'm powerless over alcohol and drugs, and my life is unmanageable. The rest of the steps is all about God, all about living sober. It's a designed way of living that would match calamity with serenity. You know, I'm going to share this. I've never had a bad day in recovery since I started to recover. I've had bad moments, but I have tools that I use. So I don't have bad days. I have bad moments.
I'd like to get a hold of those tools. I think it just helped me better with my clients.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. You could go on ca4la.gov.org and you can find out about cocaine anomalies. We have regular meetings. And you can also Google where they have different 12-step meetings. You know what I mean? They even have a brother that's in the program named Ron Simmons. One day you might want to bring him on, who we call Free in One. It's a religious organization where they utilize the Bible with the 12 steps. And in my belief system, I think a lot of churches need to incorporate these 24 spiritual principles. Because in the tradition, the first principle is unity. You know what I mean? So we practice unity in this program. We practice honesty. We practice hope. Willingness, humility, service. But anyway, I hope I answered your question, sister. Yeah, but you get involved, try the 12 steps, and if you don't like what you find, you can always go back to what you was doing. You know, sugar is a hard addiction to kick. It's one of the hardest addictions.
It's the biggest addiction. It's the biggest drug on the market. My father
yes,
has always
ma'am.
Said it's the number one drug on the market.
Sugar. That is salt.
It's the hardest to get off of.
Yes, right. That's right.
You ever see somebody try? I remember my sister was a sugarholic, and whenever she stopped, she became a crazy woman. It's just like, just eat this. I just want to throw a Snicker in her mouth. Just calm the hell down. Yeah, it was just hard to watch. And then, you know, and if you talk to other people, you see, they go through the same thing, but I forgot a point I was just wanting to ask. I'm trying to get to this class. So
I'm a witness to that sugar.
Here.
Yeah, because you become irritable, restless, and discontent until we get what we need, and that fixes us.
I know what it was. The question was, I don't understand why when they have people trying to get, like when you put them in rehab, that they give them another drug. Like when people come to us, we give them a detox, something that's going to cleanse, you know, that is not going to be something else you're going to get addicted to. So
right.
I never understood that. Mm-hmm. Why give another drug to get off of one drug?
Well, in our fellowship, we don't encourage it, but we don't discourage it either. It's not our place to say that. But when I sponsor guys, I say, you know, try God, try prayer, try meditation, try walking, you know, but some people need it because you got to wing them off. You know what I mean? It's I thy own self be true. You know what I'm saying? Either you will or you won't, either he is or he isn't is my philosophy. You know, the whole game, the recovery is willingness, you know, and if you're not ready, you're not ready. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people don't have to go to rehab. We have people walk in off the streets and walk right into a meeting and stay sober for the rest of their lives. Mm. But then most people need medical detox.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we don't discourage medical detox. Go in, take what they do, to wean you off of it so you don't go to DTs? Because you could die from DTs. If you just stop drinking after being drinking 30 years, you could die. Cold turkey. Oh, yeah. Yes, ma'am.
I've shown people to stop doing crack cocaine and end up having these heart conditions and end up having heart attacks.
That's right. Well, I've had two heart attacks, open heart surgery, December 3rd, 1997. I'm living two lifestyles in one lifetime on borrowed time, sister. I ain't never had it so good. Been to Thailand. I was in Thailand and caught COVID and had to leave my trip 5 days early. I've been around the world. Yes, ma'am. And I couldn't get out of Compton. I couldn't get out of South Central. And I had enough money to burn a jackass up in 4 feet of water selling dope and couldn't go nowhere because I was in bondage of self. This program ain't about the substance. It's about self. We started a meeting called Tired of Being Dogged Out. And when we dogged out, we're tired of dogging ourselves out. That's why we named that Duran, Ronnie Force, and I started that meeting, Martin Luther King. If you're not doing anything, come through from 6 to 8, Martin Luther King. We also have a meeting called Beyond the Courthouse, where brothers come out of the penitentiary. The same man will drink and use again. This program's about change. But I first have to come to believe that I don't have the power to change me. But there is one power, and that is God. And may I find him now. The sooner we get in contact with his power, the sooner we find some freedom.
It's killing me. Ashe. Been lovely, you guys. I'm going into my class.
Do a step for me, please.
Good luck.
All right. Bye.
Roger G. Is anybody else?
Somebody came in, Mary Lee iPhone.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Hi.
I mean, you just came in, right?
Right.
Okay. We discussing Cocaine Anonymous, and Marvin Maven is a speaker tonight, and he went through a lot of things, and maybe when I ask some questions, it'll catch you up, okay?
Okay.
All right, thank you. Mark. Anybody else? Roger.
Well, one thing, you said that this 888 number is a good hotline number.
CA number. It's a CA number.
Okay.
Hey, for hotline, yeah. And they also, if no one answers the hotline, they have a recording with a meeting in your area. So say, yeah, if you live in Long Beach, they'll tell you we can get to a meeting, or LA, whatever. Yeah. Yeah, when I first got sober, we had 5 districts. Now we're down to 3 districts.
Oh, okay.
Roger T.
Yes, bro.
Anybody else?
No, that's it.
I got one question before you.
Okay, go ahead.
Professor Rock.
Hi.
Listen, I what do you call people like me? Like, I used to binge on Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Like, get my weekends, and I mean, I would just eat them one after another. And like you said, you have to be beat down. Well, I started developing welts and stuff all over my body. And I believe that's the only reason that I gave that ice cream up, and eventually sugar, where I still eat peanut butter and jelly. But that, and the fact that I used to drink beer, I used to like those ales and the stouts, that, you know, the real heavy dark beers. And I would drink those as long as they were in front of me. But then I had to get those up too because my kidney started. But it took me to get to that point. But I was able to give them up, and it wasn't really a big struggle mentally or physically. Is there a name for a person like me?
Non-alcoholic. Because if you're real addict or alcoholic, no matter how great the necessity or the wish, you will not be able to stop. Without help.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Roger, do you have any questions?
No.
All right. Marvin, I'm going to go through a couple of things that you said. First of all, the big book. What is this? What are the main things you get from the big book?
The 12 suggested steps in order to live sober. And yes, sir.
But
and
you
they,
said,
they have they have they have the first seven chapters is devoted to the problem and and how to solve your problem and how to get in touch with the power and how to live sober. And then they also have to the wives, to the employers. They have other chapters in the book, and then they have personal stories in the back for identification purposes when the book was written.
Okay, then what is the role of a sponsor? You say when they come into the program, they got to get a sponsor.
Everyone is
required to get a sponsor, is that correct?
It's imperative that you get a sponsor. Because because a sponsor is someone who's properly armed with the facts about themselves and the nature of their disease, who will take you through the recovery process. My job as a sponsor is to walk to introduce these guys to a power and show them what they suffer from, okay, and then why didn't, and then introduce them to the process of recovery outlined in the first 103 pages of the big book I call this novel, the 12 suggested steps. That's all my role is.
And but what when they get a sponsor, don't they the sponsor check on them and they check in with you?
Yeah, they call you. All depends on what type of sponsorship. There's different types of ways people sponsor. There's no monopoly on sponsorship. There's no absolutes on how to sponsor a person. But everything is done through prayer. See, I use prayers.
Okay.
I have them do surrender prayers. And then I have them to read. And then we meet once a week. And then I tell them if there's something they need to discuss or talk about, give me a call. Now, some sponsors have them calling them every day. I tell them, you don't have to call me every day. But you need to get you a core group of people. You know what I mean? You know, that you can call. Call some member at least every day. When you go to a meeting, I encourage my sponsees to get phone numbers and call other people other than me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But no. If they got a problem, no, they call me.
All
yes.
Right. But what? I'm sort of familiar with your program. You have a 24-hour day. I think that's on Easter sometime.
Well, they have more and more now. They're called marathons.
On
holidays, 4th of July, they have that picnic out of El Dorado Park. They also, different areas of the city put on what is known as marathons, where the meetings go around 24 hours a day, 7 days, the whole weekend. Because a lot of people have problems going around their family members on 4th of July, Christmas, New Year's, holidays, because there's drinking and drugging going on. So we have meetings that we invite groups from all over different areas and different parts of the city to come and host 2-hour slots where you can have a meeting back to back to back to back to back. I want to thank you, Professor Amaral, and the Honorable Omar Bradley when he allowed us to be in the city council chambers for many years. And we used to meet there. And we go around the clock. We would have food and coffee and people would bring, yes, it's called marathons, bro.
Okay, now, when it comes to addiction,
yes.
First of all, America's a big addiction itself. They call it patriotism. But let me just say this. The seduction and the way, like cigarettes is a major thing. And like you said, cigarettes, you can get addicted to ideology. Because of your emotions that you get in love with. We got Brother Cliff on. He's really deep into reparations. And, and I'm just saying that addiction is about controlling what you're addicted to. There's some people that, may be addicted to having children, so they have 12, 13 kids. There are different forms of addiction. What we're talking about is addictions that negatively affect you. Is that correct?
Yes. A lot of people have compulsive obsessive behavior, too. Yeah, that's why there's different fellowships, there's different 12-step programs. We have Sex Anonymous also, okay? Yeah, because the people who have that strong addiction, because it's a fix. The endorphins in the brain, but that's a whole lot we can go into explaining the enzymes and the endorphins and all that and adrenaline. But yes.
But now, how does you compare men and women, the role of women in the program as far as they seek help? Are they different from the men?
Yes, because they're highly emotional. They're highly emotional. Women's recovery. Women do recover. My wife will be celebrating 40 years on August the 5th of next year. This August the 5th, she have 39 years sober, and she sponsors a lot of women, and they do a lot of workshops, and it's a lot of outside issues that women that have to address that we don't have to address as men. And I'll just leave it at that. So yes, but women do recover. Women do recover.
Okay. Now, I know in Palm Springs, yeah, at one time, the different chapters are different, programs that spread all over would be the ones that designed the platform for the big meeting in Palm Springs. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's called a spirit of rotation. We rotate from district to district who's going to host the convention. Like this year's Long Beach Compton District is hosting the convention down there. Before there was South Central, then we had West Side Hollywood, then we had South Beach Cities. So yeah, each year, and they bring different speakers. Then we do workshops, we do speakers, we do marathon meetings, which go, like I say, around the clock, 12, 12, and we also have fun. We have entertainment. We have karaoke, but the most important thing is that the newcomer can experience the unity part of the program, and get knowledge, because a lot of people, like my wife, is doing a workshop down there. We have grief and loss workshops. We have the 12 steps, the third steps, the four steps. People talk about the first three steps. Then we got people to do 4-step workshops. Yes, it's very informative, very knowledgeable, and it's fun.
All right. Now, Mary, you have any questions?
No, I'm just listening right now.
Okay, I'm glad. Welcome to the show. Hope you join us in the future. We're discussing this. Mario, Cliff, you have any questions?
Oh no, I just wanted to listen in for a minute. Thank you, sir.
Cliff is tell me about your program right quick, Cliff, just briefly.
Okay, we have a reparations plan, and it's called the African American Reparations / Sovereignty. That's ARS, Global Black Reparations Plan. And we want to make sure that we get into the reparations arena with a strong arm, because there's a lot of nonsense going on in the reparations arena right now. So we want to see if we can get people to do something that everybody says that we won't do. Professor Rob, when they say you want to hide something from black folks, put it in a book. So we're going to ask people to read some information on ARS, and we are guaranteeing people that there's no reparations plan that's even close to ours, because we can
All
generate
right.
our own wealth and we provide spiritual guidance. So if
Okay.
everybody would please call Brother Pruitt, I will give you the information and you can read it and get back to me, and we can start the second civil rights
All
movement. They're talking about
right.
giving people who survived the bombs in Japan reparations now.
Cliff, you did it. We'll get back to you, okay?
All right.
Hey, Marvin, another quick question. When they say alpha babies and crack babies, is that what you call it, genetic transformation of it? Their
No,
mother.
they call a crack baby who was born with addiction, with crack in the system.
And
That's a crack baby.
they say alpha babies is more serious than that.
What babies?
Alpha babies.
I never heard of
Alpha babies,
alky.
people that drink alcohol.
Yeah, it could be genetic. Yes, Once formulated a habit. People's bodies are different. What separates an addict from a non-alcoholic is the body. The body is abnormal. We develop what is known as a phenomenon of craving. And phenomenon means unexplainable craving that normal people don't get. Not everybody that drinks alcohol is going to develop alcoholism.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let me ask you one more question. When it comes down to the concept of addiction, is it more neurological? Because most psychiatrists and the books I've read, Sherita said, the sister that was on said, they give you another drug to get you. That's where heroin was invented, to get people off of morphine. Hash, and then they're talking about using a psychedelic drug right now to help people in therapy. You know, eating mushrooms, doing different things. How do y'all deal with that?
We don't use any mind or mood altering chemicals in order to stop drinking and using. No, sir. We don't do that. And we don't advocate that either. But if you're a doctor, we're not doctors, we're not medical professionals. A lot of people have to use psychological medicines, okay, because they're bipolar. We have people in the program who are bipolar. We have people in the program that are schizophrenic. So we don't tell them stop taking your medicine. Okay, but no, we don't. But the crux of our problem is centered in our thinking. We have a disease of the body and the mind, and the major problem, our main problem, centers in our thinking. So we have to be restored, and you can restore it by doing the work. The body, the only known cure for the body raw, is total absence.
Yeah, but see, we went through the SHRM. We've been through weed, we've been through heroin, we've been through from cocaine to crack, and then got
meth now,
and all of that. So, I mean, with all those type of addictions that are affecting people, you know, that's where a lot of HIV is started, from people shooting cocaine or shooting heroin or speedball. I lost 4 or 5 brothers, me and Brother Ernest Norm, Trent Gaines, and a few other brothers that was out there using it. How do you deal with this? I mean, I know y'all deal with cocaine and all this, but you also say y'all help people with other addictions.
We deal with all mind altering substances. Alcoholics Anonymous, you can't say addict. You go to Narcotics Anonymous, you can't say sober. You got to say clean. AA, you got to say sober. And CA, we were formed because addicts and addicts were dying. We have heroin addicts that never even smoked cocaine, they've touched cocaine. Named John B. from Long Beach. He's a member. Me and him got sober in 88 together. We got people, all different types of addicts in our program. Yes, Raul. Yes, Raul. But addiction is addiction. We treat all addictions in CA. That's the blessing of this fellowship. Mm-hmm. All mind-altering substance. A, we're powerless over alcohol and all mind-altering substance. You go to AA, it says we're powerless over alcohol and all mind-altering substance. They don't say, no, they don't say anything about any other chemical.
Okay, last question from me. Mm-hmm. When it comes down to you, they got Cocaine Anonymous programs all over the country. Is that correct?
All over the world. All over the world, Ron.
All over the world. Now, in most, are they still segregated among blacks who go to theirs, whites?
No,
go
sir. No. There's no segregation. We all have the same last name. My name is Marvin, and I'm an addict. My name is Steve, I'm an addict. My name is Sue, I'm an addict. Oh, no. There's no race. It's all about unity. We do not discriminate. Okay. We do not discriminate in this fellowship. That's the blessing of the 12-step movement.
Yeah.
No, we
yeah.
encourage everyone.
I know it is based on biblical, what they call the Oxford group.
Oxford group is where people try to get sober in the beginning. Yeah. And that's where the 12 steps were derived from in the beginning, yes, with six tenets.
Yeah.
But one step stand. Go ahead.
And that came from the Bible. And
yes.
Spiritual groups. But my question is, do you use God?
And, yes.
And I call it spirituality. But at the same time, people can
no, we use, I'm sorry to cut you off. We use a higher power. I just used to choose my higher power. I need to call him God.
Okay.
Well, in step two, they say in step two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves can restore us to sanity. They want you to get a power. You can name it anything you want. Yahweh, Buddha. Okay. No. You're God of your own. I mean, you know, a higher power. We have atheists and agnostics in our program that are sober because we even have meetings for an agnostic. We have a chapter in the book called We Agnostic. Yes, sir. We don't. Not everybody in the program has Jesus, Jehovah, Yahweh, Buddha. No, sir. We have Hindus. We have Jews. We have Muslims. We have everybody from all different faiths.
And
different walks of life.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Ross Key, Mary, do you have any questions?
No. Like I said, I'm just listening this time.
Okay, then.
Thank you.
I have one more question.
Any last question?
I got one last question.
Go ahead.
Okay, Brother Marvin, this is a very interesting program you have here. Is it possible for us to start a program like this for brothers and sisters that's coming out of jail, or do you guys already service them?
We have people to come out of prisons that are sometimes mandated to come to us.
Oh, excellent. Okay, because
let me explain. We have traditions, and that's something I didn't get an opportunity to go into. We have 12 steps and 12 traditions, but we're not allied. We do not endorse, finance, or lend our name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. We don't endorse Black Lives Matter. We don't endorse the KKK rallies. We don't endorse none of that. We're solely, our purpose is just to carry the message to the addicts and alcoholics that still suffers. That's why when Raw was asking me, is there any racial issues? Is there any issues? No, because we don't ally ourselves with that. And we have Muslims in here. We have everybody here, man.
You have addiction. You have people that's addicted.
Our only primary purpose is to deal with addiction.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We have brothers. We have brothers that did 30 years to life, man. That did 30 years is out. We got 20-year guys. In fact, we go down to there on Hope Street and carry the message to I can't think of the place because we take H&I panels and talk to the prisoners, talk to the lifers. So when they come out, we tell them, come and join us and allow them to come out, man. They hang out because of spiritual principles. It's a lifestyle, and they love us, man.
Mm. All right. Roger Key, you want to close us out?
Yes. Let me show everybody who we have tomorrow.
Hold up, Marvin. We got to get a picture of you.
Okay. So we have Brother Chihuahua coming on, and the topic is thinking, our core energy source. So that's what we have going on tomorrow. The show is open to the public. Anybody can join. Join right below the topic in the show. Join Zoom meeting right there. Open to the public.
Okay. Well, next week, I'm gonna be leading a discussion on male-female relationships. Black male-female relationship. It's challenges, it's promises, and it's successes. You understand? How to develop positive male-female relationship. Because one of the biggest conflicts we have amongst ourselves is the challenges of Black men and women getting together and raising productive family. And it's all about relationship and building that. So I'll be discussing that next Tuesday.
Okay. All right. So each one teach one in Conscious Corner. Everyone have a continue to have a great day.
Hey, Marvin.